Well, good morning. What a blessed day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. When I was overseas in Ukraine, we did some meetings there. It was amazing that they took a place where they used to preach propaganda, and they turned it into a house of prayer. And we got to preach. So it was quite nice, by the way. I love that. Yeah, amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, we love you so much. Thank you so much for Jesus, and thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, and what a blessing it is to serve our God. Pray you'll be with us now. This is your time, you teach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of sermon is what? Now, I expect you to talk back to me, okay? I'm an old Baptist boy. I grew up a Baptist. We did say amen there, so every once in a while. It is what? Finished. It is finished. Now, I want you to think about that. The whole concept of that is that it's completely done, right? There's coming another it is finished. When do you think that next it is finished is? And there's going to be a coming a time when he'll step out from that inner compartment and you say, it is what? It is finished. And then he says, as we used to say when we were kids, ready or not, here I come. That's what I'm seeing in the headlines of today. Folks, you know, he said, you will be able to tell. I know we've talked about it. Oh my goodness, haven't we, about Jesus coming? And I've been at this nearly 30 years, so I've been talking about it too. But there was a time we kind of had the right president in there, and then there was a time we had about the right religious leader, and then we had another time when we had this one and that one, and it never got it all together. There was another time when we seemed to have a few more earthquakes, and another time we thought we had a few more floods, but it was now you have floods and earthquakes and fires and all over the place. You have the right religious leader, the right president. A lot could happen, folks. Let's pray for our presidents and our governors and those that to allow us to have just a little more time. Amen? A little more time to save one more soul for Jesus. It is finished. Now, I know this isn't our theology, but so work with me on this question. If you were at heaven's gate and you were asked, why should I let you in? Now, we know that's already decided prior to us getting to heaven. Yeah, I got that. But if you were asked, what? Why should I let you in? What would your answer be? Jesus what? Paid it? He paid it all. He did it. If not for Jesus, I would not be here. I hurt for the one who's in addiction. I was an addict. I know. I know how that is. And I've been through that. My niece is going through, one of my many nieces, but one of my nieces is all I would say is going through, she's now 76 days clean and clear. What a blessing, amen? But without Jesus, I could have never done it. There was no way. I remember when I got one of those ugly cards, you know, the kind with the beast on the front of it, you know, in my house. And they still work. I don't care what you say. They still work. They draw people. But I got that, and I started going to these meetings, and then I remember going to them, and at night I would get off from work, and I would run by and get me a Dr. Pepper and a hamburger and fries, and I would head to the meeting. You know, I never thought anything about it, so I didn't want to miss any of it because I didn't get there in time, and so I brought my stuff in and sat down, and was sitting down eating and listening to this amazing, wonderful, wonderful Bible studies that were going on. We called them Revelation Seminars, and we didn't have this here. We had these little flip sheets with a overhead projector. And you write it. Remember those? The gray heads are all going this. The other ones are going, ooh. And one day, after I'd been about 3 weeks in, the pastor and then the area coordinator there in Texas. By the way, I'm from Texas. I just want to let you get that done and over with right up front. There's a thing we say in Texas, if you're not, you shouldn't ask people where they're from, because if they're from Texas, they'll tell you. And if they're not, don't embarrass them. So, you know, that's the way they are. But anyway, they came and they knocked on my door. And I had a beer in my hand, and I opened the door. And I said, "Pastor Rudy, how are you?" Of course, they looked down at my beer, and they looked up at me. I know what that's like now, because I'm on the other side of that the door. And here they were. I said, "Come on in, come on in." And they came in and sat down, and I sat down with my beer beside my chair. And I was like, they said, "How are you liking this?" "Oh, I'm loving it. I'm learning so much. It's amazing. My mind is exploding with biblical stuff. I love this. I can actually understand it without someone having to just tell me what it is." They said, "Good, good, good." And we talked through a lot of things. And then I said, just out of the blue, I believe it was the Holy Spirit leading them, I said, "Could I teach one of these?" I loved it because they looked back down at the beer, and then they looked back at me, and they looked back down at the beer, and they looked at me. And then Rudy Juarez, my pastor, always will be my pastor. He's the one who baptized me. He looked at me, and he didn't see me through his eyes. He saw me through Jesus' eyes. Because you see, Jesus' eyes shows us what we can be, not what we are. He said, "Sure, you can teach one of these." Never drank another drop of that one or one since 1986. Wow. God is good. God is good. It is finished. If I were at the gate of heaven, there would be nothing that Harvey ever did. It's all that Jesus has done. Isaiah chapter 1, you can open up your scriptures if you like, or you can read it off the board if you can see it. I don't know if I'm in the way. But the first thing he says in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, I'm going to go through there first. Hear the what? Hear the word of the Lord. You now, if someone was talking to you, this would be really bad. I mean, you can call people names, that's for sure, and there's enough names going around on the news and things we hear. But if you were Israel and God called you Sodom and Gomorrah, boy, that would kind of put it home, huh? Well, that's what he was saying to them. He says, "You've gotten so far into sin and so far into the life of sin, you don't even recognize how bad off you are and how possibly close you are to being punished." So he says, "You rulers of Sodom, give ear to the Lord of our God, the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." To what purpose? And this is important because I want you to understand this. And I'm used to moving, so I'm trying very hard to keep my feet planted here. But to what purpose? Listen to what he's saying. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Listen why, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, of the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, nor of the lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who's required from you, from your hand, to trample my courts? Wow. In other words, had God told them to do sacrifices? Yes. But why? What were they doing with these sacrifices? How were they bringing them as just an everyday thing? It was one of those things you check off. Terry, I think somebody was teaching, I forget who. Yes, okay. He said kind of, you know, reading the Bible needs to be more than just getting through it. I believe in Bible study plans, and it's wonderful. But if you're not learning something from it, you're wasting your time. I would rather you read one or two scriptures in the understanding that you have, amen? And that it means something to you and changes your life than for you to read the three chapters you needed to get through that day to get through the Bible reading plan. Does that make sense? It needs to be a place where we go to God and we talk to Him. It's not something that we just check off, "Hello, God, well, I got that over with. I got my Bible read this morning. And oh, let's see, oh, I've got to get the prayer thing in too. And I'll get the prayer thing in." And that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is a relationship. For heaven's sakes, He loves you. He had a plan of salvation. Why do you think He came to the Garden of Eden? He could have just said what? "Go destroy yourselves." And they would have. But instead He came what? For relationship. In fact, in the first chapter also, if you back up in Isaiah, it'll say, "Come, let us what? Reason together." We have a reasoning God. Well, they just let anybody in the church, won't they? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Do they even have a check at the door? It's good to see you guys, all of you. And so here we are, right? God's saying, why are you coming to my place? I'm so tired of you just bringing a sheep, just bringing a goat. I'm just so tired of it. It wearies me. In fact, you'll find out in the next scripture, it says this. Bring no more futile what? You know, if we're not careful, folks, that's what we bring every Sabbath here. Futile. Just, well, I did my Sabbath morning, and I even got up early enough to get here for Sabbath school. And God says, you know, that's not what I came here for. I came here to put us all back together again. Because guess what? In heaven, you're going to have communion with the Lord. Amen? Get ready for it because it's going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. And if you're not ready for that, you're not going to be in heaven. All right? This isn't dependent on you. This isn't some work thing. This is just a relationship. It'd be kind of like, have you ever noticed some of your prayers? My prayers? Let me talk about me. I struggle sometimes with that. Oh, Lord, be with our kids and be with our this and bless this and help us with that and pay off this and help us to lose weight. And, you know, you go through all those things you go through, right? By the way, guys, I couldn't get this coat on. I have to gather it up, keep things going. My wife says, I wish you wouldn't pull your pants up in front of everybody. I said, well, the alternative is not good. Okay. So here we are trying to get a relationship with Jesus, and our prayers are more like, give me, give me, give me. I got it covered with my kids. I covered my grandchildren. I covered my 9 grandchildren. Just thought I'd let you know that. And I'm very thankful, Lord. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. We get through the prayer. And God must be up there going like this. If Harvey only knew that I want to bless him, if he just really wanted to talk to me, I mean, really wanted to, not because he had. Could you see me doing that to my wife? We get up in the morning and say, hello, Kim. By the way, that's Kimberly. That's my beautiful wife there. I promise you, I married way over my pay grade. I got that. But, what if I came to my wife and I said, Kimberly, I want you to do this, 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 and this. Good to see you, and I'm out the door. You know, after you wake up in the hospital 3 days later with a big knot on the side of my head, it wouldn't work out very well, would it? Because that's not a what? A relationship. God says, I died for you so that we can get put back together. Amen? I really want this. And when he was talking to Israel, he said, bring no more what kind? Futile. They're no good. But you said we should. No, you don't understand. It wasn't just the sacrifice. It was what you know brings us together. The sacrifice was a horrible thing. Sacrifice of Jesus was a horrible thing. Amen? Amen. But how much do we come here and just say, well, Jesus did it all. I'm good. No, that's not what Jesus is about. There's a nice little phrase going through Christianity today. All we need is Jesus. And I guarantee you that's all we need. Amen? But he needs us. Did you know that? He loves you dearly. It's called agape. In fact, he goes on to say, the incense is an abomination to me. The worship service had gotten so regular, people were so used to just playing church, they forgot what the relationship of the Sabbath was to God. It was the time you stop what? Everything. And who becomes paramount in your life? At least one day of the week. All day. Jesus. You see, that is the relationship he died for. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. You bring in your sins and you're not even trying to even communicate. I can take your sins away, he says. Yet you come in here without that kind of relationship. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul what? Hates. They're a trouble to me and I'm weary of bearing them. Wow. I wonder if he looks at Harvey and says, Harvey, you know, really, you're just going through the time. You're just going through the system. I don't want that, Harvey. Harvey, I want you to love me the way I love you. I want you to be a special friend to me as I'm a special friend to you. Why can't you be that, Harvey? I could hear God say that to me and say it to them and to say it to all of us. Folks, he's fixing to step out and say, it is finished. And then he's going to say, he who is unjust will be unjust still. He who is righteous then will be what? Righteous still. And all is done before he ever gets here. Probation has closed. Are you playing church today? Or are you trying to really cultivate a relationship? Because you see, Daniel chapter 12, 1 and 2 in that area, he says, there's coming a time of trouble, as never before a nation. So another way of phrasing that, as there never has been nor never will be. And it's not time to play church. No. Now it's time to get a relationship. I don't care what you know. I don't care if you know the scriptures back and forth. I don't know if you care if you know the prophecies back and forth. I don't care if you're a perfect Sabbath attender and you've tithed the whole life. I don't really care about that. If you don't have that relationship with Christ, that one-on-one with him, you will not make it through the time of trouble. I'm promising you. But if you have him, he's got it taken care of. He says, I got it. I have got you in my arms, in my hand. You can't even change after he steps out. He who is righteous will be what? Amen? He says, cultivate that with me. I will take care of you. He's got the whole plan. He started it. He's going to finish it. He says, I want to be a priest. But he says, what he sees his people going through are really just going through the system, just doing things to do things. They're not doing it because they love him. And in fact, it says God never tires, but of this, he says what? I am weary of that relationship with you. That's what he means. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. That's scary. Even though you make many prayers, I will not what? Your hands are what? How many times have we crucified Christ over and over and over? You see, he says, what I like about this is God says this to awaken you, but we know he says also what? Behold, I stand at the door and how far away is God? Amen? Where's God at? He's trying to say, why should I continue listening to your prayers when you don't even care when you pray? When it really means nothing to you when you pray other than getting through it and marking it off on your sheet. I had my devotion this morning. And what about the times we don't even make time? You see, I have my favorite spot. It used to be on the couch in the mornings. And as I've gotten older, the bed works just fine. I wake up and my first words are, I love you, Father. I've trained myself. I want that. Because I do. I just look up and my smile automatically comes up. I love you. And then I start my prayer. And sometimes I ramble. Probably God's going like, Harvey, could you get back over here? You're doing real good there for a while. You know. But I love talking to him. I really do. It was a time I didn't. It was laborious. It was getting through it. It was a time when you had prayed till you thought you were exhausted and it was only 5 minutes. You go, oh, that didn't work. Amen? You ever done that? You thought you'd really done it up, right? And now I ramble on, and before you know it, I'm in an hour into it and I haven't even, you know, and half the time he's telling me to get back on track. But I'm thinking of things. I'm saying, Lord, take care of this. Oh, and my son, this, or my daughter, that, or, you know, my grandchildren, oh, they're on a trip. All these things are just coming into my mind because I love talking with him about them. Church, the end times. Isaiah, the next one is 16, 17. It says, wash yourselves. Now, you know you can't make yourself clean. Amen? So what he's trying to say is what? Come to the place you can be washed. Where is that? Jesus. There's no other place. The cross of Christ. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Can you please just pray? I'll give you strength, but you don't have to keep doing this over and over and over. I know he says that to me. I don't know about you. He's kind of like, if you'll take time with me, I'm going to come into your heart, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute, and I'm going to fill you in such a way is you'll start changing without even noticing it. I want you to keep reading. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And then what was read wonderfully by John this morning says, everyone who what? How many? Everyone who thirsts, come to what? The waters. And you who have no money, come. And buy. How do you buy without money? Because it's already paid for. Come and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money? This is the deal right here. Why do you waste your... Oh, I want to walk over there. I'm not going to. I want to, your camera's going to get all messed up. But he says, why do you waste your time on futile exercises of Christianity? Why do you do what's not good? Does that make sense? That's what he's trying to say here in a different way. Why do you spend money for what's not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? The things of the world are quick satisfying things, right? We just went on our anniversary. We went to South Padre Island down in God's country of Texas. Or she's from Oklahoma. She doesn't quite go along with that whole story. That's the only time we have a divided home is during football season. But you says, why do you do that? Because when we went there, it was wonderful. Right, sweetie? But before you know it was what? Gone. It's over. And that's what he's trying to say. What I'm trying to give you will last longer than going down to South Padre Island. What I've got for you will last for what? Eternity. He said, why do you spend, why are your wages and what does not satisfy? Listen, now he's saying this very, and when God says this, we need to listen. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight in abundance. You can have all you want. Isn't that wonderful? But it's not good to eat until you learn to like it. Amen? Broccoli. I hated broccoli. I love broccoli now, but it took a long time to change that. I would rather have chocolate, okay? Chocolate's better than broccoli. Okay, don't get on me. I'm just letting you know that's the way I was, okay? But now I love what? Broccoli, because I started eating what was good, and now I can have, if I want, even on my diet, I can have all the broccoli I want. That's pretty cool. And that's what God's saying. He says, I've got good stuff for you. I've got eternal life. I've got time. I've got relationship. You can have all you what? All you want. Come. If you're thirsty. He's looking for thirsty people for him, isn't he? When you're thirsty and you're on a hot summer's day, how long does it take to get the first drink down? Oh, it's a shotgun, right? Now, second, when you start sipping a little bit more, you know, but you still drink. But, you know what I'm saying? But when you're really thirsty, do you have to be talked into drinking? No. He says, I would that you were thirsty. Yeah. Incline your ear and what? Come to listen and come to me. A lot of times in our prayers, we forget to do what? Listen. I had a pastor, he was a retired pastor in my first district. He said, I want to give you a warning. You need to take time with your wife. So what you need to do is you need to grab her like this and set her down and give her a good listening to. At first he was saying it, I was going like, what? Yeah, what? I caught the jest after that. He says, because you're hearing, but you're not what? listening. God says, I need you to what? Incline your ear to what? Listen. I have good stuff to tell you. I need you to take the time, though, to not only talk, but to listen. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Seek the Lord what? Read it with me. While he may be found. When he steps out and probation is over, folks, it is finished. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. But you can't do that on your own, folks. You have to have who? You have to have Jesus. You can't stop sinning. I couldn't stop drinking until Jesus took it away from me. Amen? It wasn't there for me. I tried to quit smoking. It wasn't there for me. That was the other thing they did that was nice. We graduated on May 1st, 1986. And of course, he came by the house a few weeks later, said, we need to get you ready for baptism and all that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And he says, by the way, we have developed a 5-day stop smoking plan just for you, but we're going to invite the community, but we'd like for you to go through. I said, oh, well, I quit back on May 1. Did I quit? Jesus what? Took it away. I couldn't quit. I quit 1,000 times. Every cigarette, I quit. Every beer, I quit. Knowing it was all bad for me. I grew up a Baptist boy, okay? I knew it wasn't good. Like, I was hoping that Baptist thing, once saved, always saved, was a real deal. It wasn't. But I was hoping it was when I was hanging around places I shouldn't hang around. I am so glad I have a real Jesus who really comes into your heart, who really changes your family and changes your habits and changes that things that you're going through. Amen? A real Jesus that's powerful and is not something that's just to play around with. It's not something I play church with. He's someone I love. He's my God. He's my best friend. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have what on them? Mercy on him. And to our God, for he will, how much? Abundantly what? Pardon. Now here's why. Because you can't change, because you don't even understand what change means. But God says, I can change your mind. Remember it says in Romans, it says, therefore, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where we make decisions for right or wrong. Because God says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord, for the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than what? Your thoughts. Make sense? He says, you can't even think the right thoughts if you wanted to. You got to have me coming in, changing your mind, changing your desires. I mean, we have sin in our life many times that we don't even know it. We played with it so long. Let me give you an example. I'm going to try to get through on time, but I doubt I'm going to make it, but we're going to try. In Texas, skunks are notoriously slow on highways. Why do I know that? Because when they're on the side of the highway and they've been hit and you drive past them, how long does that thing stay in your car for a while? Oh, my. And it stinks to the high heavens. Would you be tempted to stop, scoop it up, and take it to potluck? No. Would you? No. There's no temptation there because your will is what? I don't want that. God comes into your mind and changes it so that you can see sin is what? Sin. You've got that skunk, guts hanging. Don't get too sick on me here. Guts hanging out. You're just petting it. Oh, nice. That's sin, you know. You're just taking care of it. It's good. It's all good. Until Jesus comes into where? Your mind, you're going, oh! And then, do you want to get near it? Remember that thing you do when with sin? You know, you kind of, I don't really sin, but I'm just going to get right next to it. Would you want to get right next to it? It stinks, right? You see what I'm talking about? He comes in to transform what? The mind. He says, if I am invited in, I will come in and I will start changing. I'll start cleaning. I'll start doing things and you'll start looking at things differently. You can't do it on your own. James 4:8 says this, draw near to and he will what? He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Jeremiah 14, 4 says, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness that you may be what? How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? If you know you have something in your life, amen? Is there? Give it to him. And I know it's not easy. If sin didn't look good, feel good, taste good, or smell good, you wouldn't get near it. And so you have to say, Lord, I'm not willing to change this. But I want to. I don't know how. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. And if I have to give it to him 100,000 times, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm not going to quit. I want that relationship with you. I want it clean. I want it pure. And I don't know how to do that because there's things in my life that just aren't right. Amen? And he says this, 2 Peter 2:22, but it has happened to them according to the proverb, a dog returns to... You get to taste the good life of being with Jesus, and if you don't watch out, you return right back to that same place. It says the same thing about a sow, a pig, having been washed, they wallow right back into the what? Into the mire. But in Revelation 22:17, it says this, and the spirit of the bride says what? Come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who what? Thirst, come, and whoever desires, let him drink of the what? How? Freely. In fact, Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who read it with me, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? They shall be filled. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, and if this isn't a reading of these last days, folks, read this with me. This is now. You know, your heart doesn't fail until someone takes away everything from you. Who would have thought anyone could have shut down the churches? Who would have thought? And we just get right on the train cattle cars with them going, yeah, well, that's the way it goes. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have. I'm with you. COVID got all that. I'm just saying, who would have thought we could have just shut down our churches in a heartbeat and that we would be willing? Folks, this is coming. But listen to what this says, because this reads from the paper of today. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Read the next one with me. I'm going to say something that'll probably get me in trouble, but that's okay. God gets me out of trouble, so I'm good. I want to ask, how well is this timeout thing working for you? Oh, honey, it's time for a timeout. Now you have to go sit over here. My daddy wouldn't take it. My daddy take a timeout with me. My dad said, I'll give you a timeout. But my spankings, it wasn't like, my dad loved me and I knew it. My mother loved me and I knew it, but that I knew when I had it coming. And when you don't get it, you just say, well, I can get by with that again. And I can get by with that again. Why do you think God disciplines us? Amen? Disobedient to parents, unthankful. Amen? You see that in today's people? Not just kids, everybody. They're unthankful for what they have until they lose it. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving. Slanderers, without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of what? But denying what? From such people what? Folks, we have a living Savior that can take those habits away from you. We have a living Savior that can change your life. We have a living Savior that can take you out of the place that you're in and put you in a place you never thought you could be. I remember they came to me and talk to me about being a pastor. I thought, well, what was the deal? Did they not graduate anybody this year? why are you coming to me? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, all of them quit? Because I thought, God, I'm the furthest away from being a pastor as anybody could be. I mean, I like giving Bible studies. I don't mind, you know, talking to people, and I don't mind getting up in front and preaching a little bit. But a pastor? Are you kidding me? He puts you up in places you never thought you would go. Not because you deserve it, because he made you qualified for it. Amen? John 12:32 says, "And I, if I be what? From the earth will what? Draw who?" How is Jesus lifted up? In you. What do people see in you? I've heard people say, "Well, that's what a Christianity is. I don't want nothing to do with it." And I would believe them. Okay, I'm with that. If you're not lifting Jesus up, how's he going to be seen? We need to be the examples for Jesus. Amen? We need to be the ones that people say, "You know, I want what you have. Whatever that is, I want that. That peace you have, I want that. That overcoming of whatever addict or thing you did, I want that. I want to be changed." I remember talking to my niece who went through 70-something days ago of a time when she needed to change. She's such a sweet, loving kid. I mean that seriously. But she knew it was time. And we did scripture things together, you know, and things that would build you up. She needed to see Jesus, and praise the Lord for at least one day she saw him. In me. I'm not consistent. I wish I was better at it. But you see, God is lifted up in you. So what are you showing that God is in your life? What will God's people look like when he returns? This is kind of a deal right here. This is important. Yeah, hang on just a second. 1 John 3:2 says this: "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall what we shall be, but we," what's that next word? "Know that when he shall appear," read it with me, "we shall be like him." Now I think about how far away Harvey is from that. What do I need to be doing? Jesus? Yeah, you're letting him. God, change me. Cover me, whatever it takes. I want to be lifting you up to other people. Amen? I put you right there, Lord. It's up to you. "For we shall see him as he is." God wants us to what? Thirst for his righteousness. God wants us to thirst for his what? Presence. Hope I got that spelling right. Texas, we speak English, it's just a different one. And God wants us to what? Thirst for what? His kingdom. How do we get there? This will be quick. If men are willing, from Acts of the Apostles, if men are willing to be molded, there will be brought about a sanctification of how much? The whole being. The Spirit will take the things of God and stamp them where? On the inside. Amen? Because you can't just have a good, nice covering on the outside. You need to be a Christian how? Inside and out. And by his power, by whose power? By his power, the way of life will be made so plain. In other words, you start changing. You start seeing those what? Those skunks for what they are. That none need err therein. God wishes us to have the mastery over ourselves, but he cannot, listen to this, this is very important, he cannot help us without our what? Consent and what? Don't mistake the word cooperation here. It's misread by many, many, many Christians. I'm fixed to show you what cooperation is, okay? Be careful with that, because we use that as a hammer sometimes, you know. The divine spirit works through the powers and the faculties given to what? What's your powers and your faculties? That's right, your mind. Of ourselves, now listen to what she's saying. of ourselves, we are not able to bring the purposes and desires and inclinations into harmony with the will of God. So is it okay for us to try to do it ourselves? Is it? No, you're going to what? Fail. Now listen to what she says. Hope you see, I've seen it in Scripture. Now I want to let you see it in an inspired word. But if we're what? Willing to be made willing. Now hang on. I want to talk about that first, then I want us to read the rest of that together. If we're willing to be made what? So I'm not quite willing to give up this sin, right? I'm not. But God, I am what? I'm willing to be made willing. Isn't that a great gospel? Isn't that good news? He didn't say you have to be perfect to come to me. He said, you come to me with your imperfection. I will take you and change you. All I need you to be is willing to be changed. And when you're not willing, I will even make you a better deal than that. He says, I will draw you with my everlasting love and kindness. Now read this with me. For if I'm willing to be made willing, then read it with me. The Savior will what? Accomplish this for us. Who does it? It wasn't you. It was who? Jesus. That's good news. Amen? And we talk about the cooperation. First thing we need is a what? So we need to go to him and say, I need to be changed. For if there's first a what? A willing mind is accepted according to what one has, what you can do or not do, and not according to what you've already done. Amen? Then go to the source. Where's the source? Come to me. Who? All you who are what? When you get labored and heavy laden, when you get tired finally of trying to do it yourself, when you get so wore out by it, trying to do it all yourself, you ever been there? Can't get past this sin, can't get past this thing, whatever it is, and I get wore out, and I just know I need to, and I got all this guilt written all over me, and I got it. But then he says, when you get tired of that, he says, I have a better plan. Come to me, all you who are laboring in that and heavy burden from it, and I will give you guilt. Is that what it says? No, it says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke. This is easier. You sitting there trying to get it done yourself is not going to work, and you're going to struggle from now until the kingdom comes. But he says, if you'll just take it from me, then he says, and learn from me. Mine is easier. Watch what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's so kind to us. And you will find what? You're going to find rest for your souls. Why? For the job that God gives us is easier than the job we pick for ourselves. Amen? Now I'm going to go back and read it the way the Scripture says. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do how much? How? Through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Revelation 3:20 says this, behold, I stand at the door and what? If anyone what? Hears my voice and your job, your cooperation right here. Excuse me. Your cooperation is what? Say it again. Your cooperation is what? What's your job every morning? What's your job every evening? What's your job at lunch? We just need to have the door wide open so he can what? Come in. Then allow God to do the work in you. Once he comes in to change your life forever. Praise God. I needed changing. Okay. Scripture says this, for it is God who what? Works in you to do what? Both to will, to change your what? Your mind? Amen? Got it? Okay, do you still want the skunk? No. Well, do you see it as a what? A skunk? Then it's, you don't want. So he comes to change your will, and when your will is changed, you're able to do his what? Amen? Once you change your will, once you see it as a skunk, you no longer desire it, therefore you can do it. Amen? Does that make sense? And then there's one very good thing. There's two scriptures and I'm through. Philippians 1:6 says this, be confident, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until when? Until Jesus shows up. Amen? He starts it, amen? And he what? He completes it. For 2 Timothy says the same thing. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is to keep that which I have to him until that day. Amen? God's looking for someone who's what? Thirsty. Why? Because, well, I'll give you the last slide too. The price has been paid what? In full. Start to finish. He comes to you. He knocks at your door. You open the door. That's your only job, right? Come in. Just come in. And then he says, I will work to change you into what I want you to be. Because my thoughts are more than yours. No matter what you think is good, I got better than that. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Let me change you. And when he changes us, oh, he gets the glory, because I couldn't do it, but he did. Father in heaven, we love you so. Thank you. Bless this time that we've had together. And Father, may we strive to have a good relationship with you. And Father, if our hearts aren't right and we're doing things for the wrong reason, we want to stop playing church. We want to be good children who love their Father. Teach us how. Change us. Come in to our hearts. Please, in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it.